Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. And of course, you can always find us too on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And today we're catching up with the Hindell Center of Performing Arts. If I remember correctly, a couple years ago, they were on Good Things when they opened their doors for the first time. But joining us today is Dr. Blake Bostick. He is the director of the Performing Arts Center there to talk about all the things they've got coming up this fall. So welcome, Dr. Bostick.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Happy to be on your show today.
Were you the director when the doors opened for the Performing Arts Center, or are you new to the party?
Well, I'm relatively new. I started in this past September as the director here. I took over from previous director, Kerry Goff, who I believe you spoke with previously. He handed the reins over to me in September, and it has been a fun ride since then.
Well, I thought that, but I also thought, man, it's so good to catch up with you guys, because I remember all the excitement that was happening on campus. That's Northwest Mississippi Community College, and this great idea of creating this performing arts center that would be dual. It would help the students, obviously, with the things that they need it, but then also have the opportunity to bring in acts and things for the surrounding community. So, Dr. Bostick, kind of give us, what's your elevator pitch? When someone asks, what does the Center for Performing Arts do there on campus, how do you kind of explain its purpose?
Yeah, so I can talk all day about all the good things that we have going on here at the Hindell Center. And really, as you mentioned, we are on the campus of Northwest Mississippi Community College right here in Senatobia. And we really exist to bring great performance opportunities to the campus and to the surrounding community, not just here in Senatobia, but really in all of North Mississippi and even the Memphis area. So as you mentioned, being here on a campus, we do offer opportunities for our students here. We actually share the building with our college's music department, and so they do all of their concerts and recitals here at the Hindell Center. But then we also offer these season events for their publicly ticketed events that people can come to. And, you know, there's so many different performance spaces in North Mississippi and in the Memphis area. And I really feel like we have the premier performance space in this area. It's so comfortable and accessible, and it's a 1,200-seat venue. You know, there's so many venues that are so much larger than that. So no matter what we bring here, there's not a bad seat in the house. People can really experience an up-close and personal performance in a really comfortable space. And I think that everyone who's been here to see a show can attest to that. It really is a great space for all kinds of performance.
And you guys have a great lineup coming into this fall, which is always so interesting to me, how you guys are able to sort of find performances and, you know, coordinate to what they're doing and they're traveling. And y'all are, you know, not without some really big names coming this fall. So who all do y'all have coming?
Yeah, so we have an eclectic mix that we try to offer in our seasons. And before I tell you about the fall, we do have one more performance as part of our what we call our spring season, which really drug out into the summer. But we have one more show coming up next week before we kick off our fall season in August. So we actually have Mississippi native and the youngest Grammy Award winner ever, Leanne Rimes, coming here next Saturday, June 29th. She's doing an intimate acoustic performance, and we are thrilled to have Leanne Rimes joining us. She just got back from Australia. This is one of her first performances since she returned to the Western Hemisphere. So we are thrilled to have Leanne coming next Saturday night, and tickets are still available for that show.
When do the doors open?
They open at 6:30. It's a 7:30 performance. Tickets start at just $50. So it's really going to be a great time next Saturday night for Leanne Rimes.
Good deal. So they need to go online to get their tickets before they come, not really showing up at the night of. You may not have a seat.
Yeah, they are selling really, really well. So you can go ahead and get those at heindelcenter.org. If people are local to Senatobia, they're welcome to come by our box office in the afternoons as well on weekdays and get those in person. If there are still tickets available, that they'll be sold at the door the day of, starting at 6:30 that day as well. But yeah, it's been a very hot seller. We might not have any available next Saturday, so go ahead and scoop those up while you can.
And then looking into the fall, cooler weather. Yeah, you know, spring has sprung and it's over with there, Dr. Bostic. Y'all are in the middle of the summer now. But definitely looking forward to cooler weather there in the fall to get out for some events. And y'all have got some exciting acts coming to the Heindel Center. So who you got coming?
Yeah, so we are thrilled about our fall 2024 season lineup. We just announced it, and I'll tell you more about season tickets and all that in a minute. But, yeah, I'll just run through the lineup for you. Got some big names, really exciting season coming up. Kicking off in August, on August the 17th, we have our first return performer. We have Donnie Edwards bringing an elite tribute to Elvis. So Donnie came in our inaugural season in spring 2023, and he is back by popular demand, the return of the king here to the Heindel Center starting on August 17th. Then about a week after that, we are thrilled to welcome Jeff Foxworthy here to Senatobia, which is so exciting to have such a just a national legend like Jeff to come and give a hilarious night of comedy for us on August the 23rd. And then following that in September, on September the 7th, we have Lee Greenwood live in concert here. That's just before, of course, September the 11th. And, of course, Lee brings a lot of patriotic tunes, and he's well known for his patriotism and things like that as well. Then moving into October, we have the National Broadway Tour Shrek the Musical on October the 2nd. So that's sure to be a great time for the whole family here in Senatobia. Then we have a couple of more shows in October as well. Like I said, we have a very eclectic mix. A couple of weeks after Shrek the Musical, on October the 18th, we have Gary LaVox. And if people don't know that name, they certainly know the name Rascal Flatts. So that's Gary LaVox of Rascal Flatts, the front man from Rascal Flatts, coming to do a concert for us. And, of course, he'll play the Rascal Flatts hits and some of his solo work as well. So we're thrilled to have such a hit maker in the country music industry coming here on October the 18th, Gary LaVox. A week after that, on October the 25th, we have funk and soul legends Tower of Power. They've been rocking for half a century, and so we get to bring them here for a really fun time. Then one of the shows that has gotten the most buzz for this fall season is coming up right after that. November the 1st, we have The Temptations, American music royalty, the iconic Temptations, including one of the original Temptations, Dr. Otis Williams, who's still carrying the torch there. So we are pumped about that one. And then we're rounding out our fall season with a couple of great Christmas shows. So the week before Thanksgiving on November the 17th, we have the Vienna Boys Choir, which is one of the most famous and oldest choirs in the world. So they're going to be coming here and giving us a Christmas performance, and that's sure to be really wonderful. Their angelic voices are just really going to get people in the holiday spirit. And then on December 10th, we are really excited to offer Celtic Woman and their White Christmas Symphony Tour. And so Celtic Woman will be coming. They will have a 44-piece live orchestra on stage with them. That will be a Christmas show. So, I mean, it's going to be wonderful. I've had the chance to see Celtic Woman. They are amazing. And we, with the addition of the 44-piece orchestra, it's really going to be a beautiful show.
You got us all the way through Christmas, Dr. Bostic. Man, y'all have got a packed agenda there at the Heindel Center for Performing Arts on the campus of Northwest Mississippi Community College. And you mentioned something about a season pass or maybe like a membership. How does that work? Is it one of those things where if you pay one price, you get a discount, or do you get to come to all of them? Because I guess if you're in the area, man, that's a good deal.
Yeah. So we do offer season tickets. Those went on sale last week, and we've already sold quite a number of those. So the benefit of buying a season package is you do get all nine shows, and you can pick one seat. So if you have this particular seat you love, you can get the same seat for all nine shows, and you get a 10% discount if you buy the entire package for all nine seats. So those are on sale now. We also, starting yesterday, put our smaller packages on sale. So we have custom pick three or pick five packages. So if people can't get here for all nine shows, but they know that there are three or five shows that they're going to want to come to, then they can purchase either those three or those five, whatever custom assembly of of shows that they want to come to. And that also has a 10% discount. And then we will sell individual show tickets as well. Those go on sale starting next Monday, June the 24th.
Lots of good things happening that way. Dr. Bostic, sounds like you're doing a great job taking the reins over of the Heindel Performing Arts Center. You're welcome back anytime to give us updates, and best of luck to all that's coming this year.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, and I hope you'll come up and see a show soon. I'll save you a seat.
All righty, you got it. You guys, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
This is brave. This is bruised. This is who I'm meant to be. This is me.
Look out, cause here I come.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
That's a Good thing. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you've downloaded that. Don't forget, too, you can always find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget about Supertalk TV. We are on your computer or your mobile device. And don't forget, too, that our Supertalk Mississippi news team, they are always bringing the news to you wherever you are. And of course, you can catch them on nearly 50 stations across the great state, but you can now find them on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So go to supertalk.fm/news on the go to keep up with what's going on across the state. My favorite button over at supertalk.fm is when you hit the news button and then you find lifestyle. So that's where you get all the good headlines. And speaking of fall lineups, which we were just talking to the Heindel Performance Center there in Senatobia, but we've got the entertainment lineup already announced for the 2024 Mississippi State Fair. I won't mention Christmas again today, Rhino. Technically, I got tickled when Dr. Bostic brought up Christmas shows. I looked over to see if you rolled your eyes, but I could feel the collective in our Good Things family. I didn't ask him to say that. He said it all on himself, so we won't bring that up. But we'll get a few months shy of Christmas, and it will be the Mississippi State Fair, but hopefully it will be a little cooler and better by then. But it's kicking off Saturday, October the 5th. If you want to see the whole lineup, you can do that over at supertalk.fm and go ahead and put you in the spirit of the Mississippi State Fair. They're getting in the spirit for the baseball game that's coming up this weekend, which I think is a lot of fun. And if you want to see Governor Reeves challenge Alabama governors to a friendly bet over the charity softball game, then they've got the videos there for you. Also, the X tweet, Twitters, whatever you people call it now these days, the conversation between the two, but it's friendly banter and it's all for good cause because the proceeds go into the Children's of Mississippi Hospital, and there has to be a winner. That's what happens in baseball or any game in that way. So we'll see who comes out on top. I think he was wagering a bunch of the world's best catfish, which we know that is going to be from Mississippi.
I think it's technically a softball game.
Oh, softball game. Did I say baseball? Softball. So softball game. Sorry. So once you hit a certain age, I guess you don't play baseball anymore. They turn it to softball.
Unless you got paid to do it, no. Like that, those are about the only people you see at an old-timers game. Is, okay, yeah, you played baseball in the 70s professionally, so you got out there and you play baseball for the old-timers game. But no, if the farthest you got in your baseball career was youth league or high school or probably even some college, probably not going to pick the game back up outside of maybe coaching later.
I appreciate those. I do appreciate the adult leagues of things of that nature. And sometimes you will find like softball leagues within.
Oh yeah.
Within churches, as you mentioned, sort of pick up games. I think too, like I think the military will sometimes have a few leagues, like if they're stationed in different places and whatever it may be. But I get tickled every time, particularly, and I'm making fun of the grown men here, but when y'all are like, yeah, let's grab our, you know, grab our gloves, we'll grab the bats, let's get out there, let's have a good old time. And y'all do. Y'all have a grand old time. Y'all pitch and hit and you run bases like you were, you know, 18, 21 again, whatever it may be. And then those couple hours after starts to set in on you. And then you start to reach for the creams and the pills and the all the things to make the inflammation and the swelling.
It's not necessarily the moving around that's the problem. It's when you stop and get still and get stiff.
And then the next day you say things like, gosh, not as young as I once was and all the other. But you gave it a good college try and that's all that matters. You kind of got to ease yourself back into that. But that's definitely, yeah, something to, it is. You know, you think, you look and you go, oh, I can do that in some of the summer leagues for swimming. A lot of you guys and your families are taking part of that. Local clubs will have summer teams and they play and swim usually just the month of June. And they'll meet up and have their little local sort of end of the year meet. And then they come and they even have a state meet and sort of all things that roll transpire. One of the cool things here in Central Mississippi is they have a parent swim along with the actual swim meets at the end of it or in the middle of it, kind of as a little bit of a break. They let parents from all the different teams come together and create a relay. And then, you know, you get to see it and live out their wildest dreams. You definitely can pick the parents who chose triathlons as probably their way of staying physically active after high school, college sort of years versus those that are literally throwing on the trunk shorts and grabbing a pair of goggles out of their kid's backpack. And it's like, I'm going to give this a good, I hope I don't drown try. But the old saying, you got it, you use it or you lose it is really true. I want to think when it comes to sports specifically.
So what you're saying is we need to have more Little League baseball teams when they have that last get together before the pizza party or whatever out at the ball mm-hmm. field, and you need to have a home run competition between the parents and the kids.
Yes. I think that's one reason like pickleball exploded the way that it has is that it gave families, but I mean adults, another avenue to still be like active but also competitive. Because I mean there's a lot of sports where you grew up and then like it's just over now. Like I know basketball, if you played into your college years, most aren't going on to the next, most any college athletes not going on to their next, most high school athletes are not going on to college. It just starts to get smaller and smaller. But you lose any avenue to stay and competitive, to have like that kind of edge in it. And yes, you can play pickup basketball with your kids or whatever it may be. But I mean, like keeping the skills up, like same if like that was football, like that kind of, I'm not real sure, but I feel like that really ends for you.
Yeah.
If once you graduate and you don't go on to whatever it is, there aren't a lot of pickup football type opportunities in that way. Baseball.
And even rarer to find one where it's going to be tackle.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. Like, if you hadn't played the game in 15, 20 years, like, a bunch of boys are out there like, let's, you know.
You'll pull something bad enough playing flag football.
You're right. I think baseball's sort of the same way. So I wish they would bring back more, intramural in college, where it was competitive for like bragging rights, and you had a team aspect, and you got to go out and like had a reason to practice and show up, and you know, even if it was just for the pride of doing it, but it kept you kind of like part of what team sports, the other parts of team sports. I hate that once you get to a certain age, there's a lot of that that just sort of goes away. I think that's why people gravitate towards like running clubs, triathlons, like there's just less opportunity for adults. Pickleball now is like sort of one of that way in that nature. So I don't know who would start them, but
I think pickleball also is aided by the fact that it has that, the cool factor of tennis. It has a whisper of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not near as fancy looking as tennis, but
intimidating.
You get to go
buy the tennis outfit and the racket is similar and it has a similar feel to it, because you think of the more frou-frou, well-to-do sports out there, you've got tennis and golf that really kind of first come to mind. And while golf can be physically taxing, it's one of the few that you can play well on into later years and still enjoy it. Whereas tennis, unless you kept up with your tennis, tennis will whip your tail.
Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
And your knees and your ankles.
Whereas you get to have some of the fun of the tennis without having to run 50 miles in a match by playing pickleball.
I agree. I agree with that. Jeff in Pontotoc said, I'm at the age where the next day my body whispers to me, please don't do that again. Sometimes it screams, please don't do that again. I think that's one reason why, too, folks think, oh, I'll just lace up my shoes and get out there and I'm going to pick up running again. Well, if you hadn't ran in a decade, you probably aren't going to pick it up again. You're going to get shin splints and some of the other things.
You'll get farther away from the house than you wanted to, and something will lock up, and you got to make it back.
So, like, ease yourself back into it. Ease yourself back into it. If there was, like, a, what league would you join if there was a low-key intramural grown-up league for, like, sporty stuff?
Maybe soccer.
I was going to say soccer, but I wasn't sure how you felt about that.
I mean, there's a lot of running, but there was a lot of running when I played, and I was a big kid, so I played fullback. I played defense, and I would probably play defense in a very similar way, where I'm not going to get past midfield a whole lot, but I'm a brick wall when it comes to you're not getting by me.
I think that would be fun. I think basketball would be a great league. I'd love to see a swimming league. I would totally be all into that as a swimmer, as a kid who was a swimmer, not just get out there for a triathlon, like the different sort of things and all the stuff. I think we're on to something. I don't know what we'll call it, but Good Things Intramural International. There, we created a company right here on the radio. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Sippy. Becca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
To Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Now, the U.S. Army Engineer Research and Development Center, also known as ERDC Library, which is divided into three locations, but one of those great locations is right here in Vicksburg, Mississippi. They are the first in the Department of Defense to take part in a partnership with Google Books. I think this is pretty cool. So joining us today is Joy Brooks. She is the ERDC librarian, and she's the Google project lead. So welcome, Joy.
Thank you.
Now, do y'all call it ERDC for short, or do y'all have another nickname for the whole center?
We call it ERDC.
Ah, I knew it. I couldn't remember. I remember I got corrected last time, Joy, but I was like, you know what? She'll tell me if I got it wrong, because it's a big name. Y'all definitely need a short name for that. So ERDC there. Okay, this is a really cool partnership. I think it's neat. How did this partnership with Google Books come together for ERDC?
Well, our Google Books project started with the Army librarian, Mike Minolte, was approached by Google regarding data from mosquito repellent studies from the Army had completed. And he coordinated a meeting with the library representatives from the Army Futures Command and the USAFE Command, which is the Corps of Engineers Command. And the conversation led to identifying there was a gap in Google Books when it came to the Army's technical knowledge. So we agreed to see if we could move forward with a scanning project, and Erdick Library was selected as a starting point because of our large collection.
That's that's really cool. So, Joy, when someone says, what is Google Books? Because I feel like we kind of know digital books. Is it like, you know, your little Kindle reader on your phone? Is it, you know, something that you go online and kind of, obviously it's in digital format, but how do you describe Google Books?
Well, to access Google Books, you definitely have to go online, but it's a public database of full text and of books and magazines that are scanned by Google.
So it's just good old, so it's not necessarily a digital, it is a digital format, but somebody had to painstakingly scan all of this information in so it could be digitized. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They have like a digitization center where they scan stuff. So yeah, so someone definitely had to scan all of those items that you see in Google Books online.
So how long does that kind of process take, Joy? That feels like a very tedious process.
Yes, it's a very tedious process, but for us, it's it takes 8 weeks for them to scan and get the material back to us.
So who is selecting the books or the magazines or the literature that gets scanned in for the Army's library?
Actually, Google Books select the items. They actually go into our kind of our database, our online catalog, which is displays a collection of the items that we have, and they select the items that they don't have, and they send us like a pick list, and from that list, we send them the items they requested, but we send them public release items. Because they don't know going into our catalog which items are restricted and which items are available for the public.
So, Ms. Joy, what is the long-term benefit of this partnership? I know it's really cool that you guys are the largest library, I think, in the Army. Obviously, there's a lot of good opportunity here to educate servicemen and women. But, like, what's that long-term benefit look like with this partnership?
The advantage to Erdick is that it increases the visibility of Erdick and USAID research, which can lead to other research opportunities. So the long-term advantage there is just more access to public information.
Good deal. Who's going to get to utilize these online books? Who will be the everyday user?
The everyday user, the public.
Okay.
Everyone gets to access these Army technical knowledge reports. So everyone.
That's a good thing for us all to know. So how long will this project, or will it always be ongoing, Joy? Will there always be new information sort of coming in and you guys sort of organizing and cataloging it? Or is it kind of like one big project and then it's up and done?
It's kind of one big project and it's up and done. Technically, it would take a year. We started in the beginning, like gathering the information and stuff in January, and we plan to be finished December for the Vicksburg location. And then next year, we will move into our other location, which you mentioned, which is Hanover, New Hampshire, and Champaign, Illinois. So overall, I would probably say a year and a half.
So you got a busy rest of the year, Miss Joy.
Yes, we do, but I work with a good team. So we can handle it.
So at the end of the year, will it go essentially like go live for the public to be able to utilize, or can we now still access maybe what's already been uploaded as you guys are in your process?
Yes, you can actually, you know, after the 8 weeks, they actually put it in the Google Books. So you can actually go in Google Books and you can search by the item by title and you should be able to pull up the item. So it actually, after 8 weeks, it goes live in Google Books.
This is really neat. Ms. Joy, what does it feel like being the lead librarian on such a big partnership?
It feels wonderful, but I couldn't have done anything without the librarian team, the librarian staff. So they make being lead easy. So we all kind of work together. So it has been an awesome experience.
How big is your librarian team there at Erdick?
Overall, we probably have like 23 people on staff, So we are pretty, and it's all three locations, which is Vicksburg, Hanover, and Champaign. So we are a very large staff. So.
Well, I think that's a very big dedicated team to making sure that good information is out there in Google Books and obviously on the library. So how would you best tell folks listening to Good Things to take advantage of that public information? Obviously, it won't be completed and done until like December, but where do we go? How do we search for things? How can we use your library, Ms. Joy?
Well, you can actually use our library if you type in your regular search engine, Erdic Library. It will pull up our page, and you can click on our online catalog. You can click on our digital repository, and the items that we are scanning or getting scanned, we're also going to eventually put them into the digital repository. So you can search anything. You can type in a subject term, or if you know the exact title, and it should be able to pull up for you.
All righty. Well, it's such a good resource that I feel like more folks should know about and use and be proud that that's housed, part of it, at least a third of it, is housed right here in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and doing some good. You'll have to come back in December, Miss Joy, when it's all said and done, and we'll celebrate that all that scanning and uploading is done for you.
Yes, thank you.
All righty. Pretty cool. Pretty cool that those kinds of things are going on, at least not really behind the scenes. I mean, it's there and it's a resource that we should be using and taking advantage of. It's that information that you want. Also, just remembering, gosh, you know, so many of our libraries have all of this digital information online at the tip of your fingers if you wanted to go and do. But to think, you know, have you ever scanned something in right now and it just doesn't go in the right sort of way? I mean, when I'm thinking someone has to sit there and scan all of those pieces of information into the system, my mind is just like, oh, I would think that machine would wind up out a window.
Well, if that's one thing, if you've never watched how they digitize books for these digital libraries, it's fascinating because you think of like heavy machinery in a metal plant where you're standing there in front of this big machine and it's got a foot lever and you tap your foot and this big thing comes down and smashes the hot metal into a shape and then spits it out. That sounds like fun, right? When they're digitizing these books, it's the same thing minus the heat with the hot metal, but there's a book sitting there. There's this big apparatus that you push the little thing with your foot, it comes down, scans both pages, the left and the right, goes back up. Flip the page, you do the same thing over and over. So instead of having to like, all right, we got to make sure the book's flat.
Yeah, because it has the little rolly part to it. And so you'd get really,
oh, yeah. So it keeps the book sitting in a V shape. So it's just like halfway open. And then the scanner sits in that, scans it, and then lifts back up.
I don't want to push the button. Oh, but the pedal. I think that would be very satisfying just to hear it come down and go, well, I'm glad to know they have increased that technology and how they do that, because I was going to feel like that those folks need a raise and some anti-anxiety, you know, because that is, if you've ever tried. I mean, remember in college when you actually had to use the copy machine to take out things that you got in the library or information that you wanted out of a book, and you had to make sure it was flattened down so it didn't smear the sides, so you get home trying to read it and you're like just guessing what was in those particular areas or just reading the part of the sentence that actually made sense and then, you know, just sort of skipping.
The only thing worse than that is when you sit down to take a quiz or a test and they hand it out and it's photocopied and there's, oh, look, question 17 is asking me to identify something on this diagram, except this diagram has been photocopied.
Yes!
A copy of a copy of a copy of a copy 17,000 times, and now it's just an indiscernible blob on the page that I got to figure out which answer
where
is.
Where the ink dot went, yeah. A, B, C, D, F. Ah! Pick one. It's always B, right? Or always C?
C.
C. C is the always one you go with. All right, well, stick with this. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We hope you have downloaded that Supertalk Mississippi app. If you haven't, take a few minutes today to do that. You can always find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. We are also on your computer, your mobile device, over at Supertalk TV. And the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour, which is presented by Superior Catfish, it's back. And Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of the Thunder and Lightning podcast, they're trekking around our state to catfish houses to talk food and, of course, Bulldog sports. So you can catch the show anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also watch episodes of the show over at Supertalk Mississippi's YouTube channel. And don't forget, for generations, Superior Catfish has cultivated fresh, delicious catfish. They have perfected a process that ensures you receive the finest product available. I think that's a good thing. And remember, always ask for Superior Catfish at your favorite grocer and restaurant. On the C Spire text line, some of you guys have chimed in on what we were talking about earlier, just the things that you did in the past that maybe if you try back again as an adult, it just, things don't work the same. You feel like I can do that. And I, you know, for some parents, especially I guess us ladies who were cheerleaders back in the day or maybe did a little gymnastics, the first time your kid's like, Mom, do a cartwheel, show me, you know, a toe touch. And it's like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. And maybe you can. Maybe you've stayed at a level of fitness. And I think that's absolutely great. But Darren and Jackson said, I was on the boxing team in high school. Do they still have boxing teams in high schools anymore?
Not around here.
They should, well, before I say that, well, you bring it back. Let's, yes, there you go.
Yeah, with all the right permission slips and stuff, let them go at
just
it.
Just let them go at it. And a month or so ago, I sparred with my youngest son, and the next day my body said, don't you ever do that again. There was no whispering for his body. It was just screaming, don't do that again. Another, I think it was Keith and Meridian, said he water skied this past weekend. That, my friend,
you'll discover muscles you didn't know you had, and they'll all hurt.
I'm not even old. I mean, I'm not old, but I wasn't old then for sure. It was probably 15 years ago. I tried kneeboarding, or I can't remember which one it was, for the very first time. And if you've never done that, and nobody teaches you the right way to like get up without a lot of assertion, then yeah, that next day you can't brush your teeth. Your arms are jello. You're like, What happened here? You know, I'm supposed to be in my prime, and I knocked on my knees for that. So, yeah, you definitely have to take things a little bit slower. But boxing's one of those that I think has picked up. Now, it's not like intramural. I don't know. Like, I mean, you sign enough permission slips, I guess they could make it. I think there's still like more UFC, but like wrestling, boxing kind of matches and stuff that come to small towns, but it's not the same as like I would think back in the day that it was. But it's picked up steam in terms of workouts. There's these I won't call them luxury boxing, but kind of like where you go in, you have your workout, but it's not just kickboxing, but it's actual whatever that's.
Well, I mean, yeah, anybody that's ever done a routine on a speed bag or a heavy bag or really any boxing training whatsoever. That's a heck of a workout. Mm-hmm. And if you can get in a routine of doing that on a regular basis, even if it's something as simple as taking time out of your day to shadow box, that is being active. That is elevating your heart rate. That's getting your lungs pumping air in and out more than they normally would. And when you add on that extra layer of competition, if you're doing it at a boxing gym or with a boxing group, yeah, I could see that being a really good way to stay lean and mean.
Rhett and Ridgeland said, I've heard about adult kickball leagues.
I could see that being a lot of fun.
I also see that be a lot of trouble because I refereed the sixth grade kickball thingy-ma-dooter for the PTO, and good Lord, they take that thing. It can get rough quick. So, but it also seems like that would be like a lot of fun, like bring that back. I think we need more of that. Kind of friendly fire, friendly competition.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of in our life. But you always think about it when it's coming up, like with the Olympic trials, and then when you're going to have the Olympics, it gives you in that spirit of like you want to be a part of something you want to do. If you're not watching the Olympic trials, I think you're missing out because you're watching your hometown people, even though it's not us, not always a Mississippian, but oftentimes it is. It's, you know, going up for the next level. I know Rachel from Central Mississippi was at the swimming trials. I think she came in 47th out of 80-ish, I think was pretty good. She's a young girl. She's got plenty of ample opportunity to make it again in the next 4 years. But it's cool just to see these individuals put forth so much effort and then try to make it to that, you know, such a small percentage makes it to a team. And then it's heartbreaking when you see those that don't, that miss it out for, like, some guy missed it out last night, Rhino, by like 0.02 seconds. You're talking like a fingernail links to the wall. I just don't know if I'm emotionally stable for that, which is probably why God said, thou shalt not be an Olympic level athlete. She cannot handle losing it by 0.02 seconds. So we'll just not give her that. Cool. All right. Talking about sports. You got that coming up next with the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.